Yes.
3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, April 3rd, episode 3919, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Today, we have our monthly visit with Deanne from Horse Nation as we dive into spring cleaning, April Fools, and a whole bunch of other things. Plus, this day in equine history includes Jesse James, the famous outlaw, and we have some really bad ads later on in the show. Unfortunately for the auditors, there's no post-show today. I've been a little limey this week, and I've had to record a lot of episodes, and I don't know that I could do it, to be honest. I'll do the best I can in this episode. I wonder if, you know, I think longtime listeners can tell when I'm a little limey. I know you can tell, but for new listeners, I have chronic Lyme, and sometimes I just get a little mixed up. So if you hear me say words backwards, that's why.
I'm having one of those things where, like, I can't remember words. And I went to a – you're going to love this. You're going to love this. I went to a doctor this week to help me with – and he's like a wellness doctor. And he kind of helped me with – he's supposed to help me with hormones and get everything in line and fix everything up. And so he sits me down and he's like, okay. And Chad's in the room. And he's like, okay, well, let's go through where you're at. Cause I've gained so much weight. Like, I just can't believe like the weight gain and the brain fog.
You've
and
seen
all
this guy
stuff.
Before, haven't you? Didn't you?
No, this is new. Okay. This is a new guy. So we go and he's like, all right, let's sit down and let's discuss like what your day is like. And he's like, okay, what's your diet like? And I was like, are you really healthy? I don't eat a lot of processed foods. I don't eat corn syrup and all food dyes and all that crap. I was like, I'm a vegetarian. He's like, ooh.
He's like, that's what's wrong with you.
And he was like, you're a vegetarian? And I said, yeah. And he was like, well, I don't really like that diet. And I was like, well, and by the way, he's like 50 and like jacked, right? He's like this muscular guy.
Well, at least that's good.
I think this is going to work better for Chad in the long run. But anyway, so he's like, I don't really like the vegetarian diet. I was like, oh, okay, well, I mean, you know, whatever. He was like, oh, and Chad was like, listen, she can't even eat something that's touched meat because she's been sick. I was like, I've been a vegetarian for 38 years, you know, like this, like 39 years. So I was like, it's just not something that, you know, but
I assume it's the protein thing is why he's arguing that.
He's like, I don't like the vegetarian diet. Here's what we could do. So you get sick when you eat things that even touch meat. He was like, okay, here's what we can do. We can sit down and come up with like a back to, you know, getting meat back in your diet program. And we can sit
You're
down
fired.
Like little by little. And I was like, I was like, what?
Is this the first 5 minutes of the interview and you didn't get up and walk out?
I was like, wait, I go, what, wait, why? He was like, yeah, we just slowly start reintroducing meat until you backed it. No, I was like, let me stop you. Cause that's not happening. I was like, what? He was like, I'd cut off my left hand before I'd give up steak. And I was like, and this is not going to work for me.
Read the crowd, dude. Read the crowd.
I'm sorry. Did you just in the first 5 minutes of my doctor's appointment start to tell me a back to meat program? Probably a back to work program for your horse. Like a back to meat. Okay. You know, I go, Chad, this is going to work great for you. I'm going to go outside.
Hey, you know what was fantastic last night? We saw the Artemis launch from our house.
Oh, yeah. From your house?
Yes, because where our house sits, we're kind of the highest point in the neighborhood, and we have a clear view of the sky to the southeast, which is where it is from us. And we got to watch it for a good 2 minutes as it went across the sky. It was usually the launches happen and they go out toward the ocean. What this one did is it went up the coast. So we got to watch it for a long way. It was so cool. You could tell it was a rocket. It wasn't even that high yet. But that was kind of cool. We got to watch that from our house. And it's just, for me, it was very nostalgic because, you know, I lived through the early days of the moon launches and moon landings and all of that stuff. So, and we actually went down and watched a launch in the early days. Probably, God, it had to be in the 70s. We watched a launch from the Cape Canaveral. So I remember as a family, we went down and did that. So it, for me, it was very nostalgic. I know there's launches all the time, but this one's a little different. So
it was, well, Chad was, we made Lucas watch it. And Chad was like giving me the details. He was like, this is like NASA. He's talking to Lucas, like, this is NASA. He's like, this isn't Elon Musk. I'm like, no. This is like NASA. Like, NASA.
And it's much bigger rockets. So
these are huge. And then you watch it when it launched and like how it kind of curves and bends, you know, and Chad is like, my husband can be so offensive. He was like, I want to see how the flat earthers trying to just figure that out. Okay.
Is that something he ever had an inkling to do, being a fighter pilot to astronaut thing?
I don't think so.
No.
I think
that's the pull they pull from is, you know, usually fighter pilots and stuff.
Yeah. He wanted to be a fighter guy. Yeah. We did have friends that were, they were like on the astronaut track.
I know it's a hard one to get into anyway. But yeah. All right, so anyway, we saw that. You had bad storms. Were they bad? Did you have to get in the closet or were you good?
No, it was supposed to be bad. They were talking about it bad. We ended up getting about an inch of rain, which is super much needed and doesn't look like it even rained right now because we're so dry.
It's so unfortunately dry. So much part of the country. I saw there's 120 fires going in North Carolina right now.
Oh, man. I did bring the horses in last night. And when I bring them in, and it's nice, you know, it quit around 2 a.m. So they were standing there for no reason. I hate having my horses in. They live outside. But so I had to get up this morning at like 6:30. Lucas had a tennis tournament. I got him to school. And then I was like, I'm going to go down to the barn and, you know, turn out. And I start to, I was like, I'll muck half the barn before this show. And I'm sitting here in this chair right now. And I mean, I stink. Like, oh my God. Like, oh, I should have changed my pants. I don't know. I'm just sitting in this room.
You can smell yourself. It's bad.
Yeah. It's really bad if you can smell yourself.
You know what? We should invent. We can make a fortune. Another great idea. We've had so many ideas in 15 years that we could have made fortune on that we didn't do anything with. We need to make a smell-o-meter. Specifically for horse people, that you just like hold it up to yourself, like an app. Yeah, you hold it up to yourself, and it says approved for public or not. It just needs one setting. Can I go out in public like this? I went by. We're obviously in the heart of horse country here in Ocala, which means half the people at our grocery stores are wearing breeches. So you'll go in, and the other day I had this teenager. I would say she was 17, maybe. And she was in breeches, and I got to tell you, the breeches didn't look like they'd been washed in a while. And when I walked by her, I went, oh, my God. And I'm a horse person and went, oh, my God. And I was like, okay, either she didn't wash them or she was really cleaning a lot of dirty stalls today. But we need to smell-o-meter.
It's usually the boots, but I'm not wearing boots up here. It's just me.
Well, the nice thing about having horses out all the time and they only come in occasionally is when you're cleaning paddocks, you never get as stinky as when you're cleaning stalls. It's just a thing, you know? You just don't because you're not standing in urine. All right, Daily Winnies.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm. Happy birthday, friends.
We have some auditor birthdays this weekend. Hannah Barker, Kai Spencer, Lily Harmon, and Ann Carney. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a terrific weekend.
Ooh, Daily Winnie goes out to my friend Zoe. You know, Zoe, she half leases Ace. She rides with me about 3 days a week. And she's getting married this weekend. Wow. So congratulations, Zoe. We have a bridal shower tomorrow, or wedding shower tomorrow. And then Sunday we have like the pre-dinner. And then they're actually getting married on Monday.
Are you like, in the wedding? Are you part of the party?
Oh, no, I'm one of the people that gets to sit back and just watch.
Oh, good. You don't have to wear the chiffon dress or anything like that.
No.
Well, congratulations to Zoe. We hope you have perfect weekend or weather this weekend for that.
It's supposed to be awesome, so it's going to be great.
Are you still going to World Cup? And when is that? Isn't it next week or something? Is it?
It's next weekend. Yeah. So we're going to head down Friday and stay through Sunday. Larissa and I are. And so it's funny. Larissa's a dressage rider, right? And she rides with a trainer who is a dressage trainer. And I thought it was so funny because apparently all the group from the barn she rides at are going down, but they're not into show jumping. So they're going to go to Medieval Times on Friday, which is when the show jumping is. And then Saturday night is the dressage. And apparently they invited her and she was like, "So my friend's a show jumper. I don't think," she was like, "I do not want to go to Medieval Times when we can watch show jumping." I was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that." So it was very nice that they invited us, but we're going to stick to it. And then also, you guys, like, I got my show jump tickets for Kentucky 3-Day, which came in the mail yesterday, or came in my email box. So I had to add it to my Apple Wallet. And so it's happy April Kentucky World Cup, almost Kentucky Derby month.
You're gonna have a whole horsey month this month.
I know, it's gonna be awesome.
Well,
by the way, for those coming to Kentucky, if you're gonna go to the Kentucky 3-Day on Thursday night, New Vocations, which is a beautiful farm, that's a whole lot of eye candy horses for adoption, not men. So they have a whole bunch of horses for adoption. They're having what they call an open barn and barbecue. And there's, like, you know, speakers, and they have music, and they have food trucks and a bar, and it's like just, and it's free to the public. So we are going to all go hang out at New Vocations on Thursday nights. If you want to do a meetup, we will definitely be there. And like, I'll be there the whole weekend. But for the most part, like, this is like, let's go hang out. You guys, let's all go. It's going to be awesome.
Well, next week, if you're heading to Equine Affair, don't forget there is also a Ashley's holding a listener meetup. It's on Thursday night, April 11th at 6:30 p.m. at the Cheesecake Factory. I will put a link to, there's actually a Facebook meetup page, and I'll put a link to that in today's show notes. So if you're going, you can indicate you're going there so that they can get reservations. But hopefully you'll have a lot of fun there with Ashley at Equine Affair. One of the news story before we get to our guest, I wanted to mention, because it just surprised me this morning. On April 21st, the Texas Board of Veterinary Medical Examiners is holding a public meeting to discuss potential rule changes that could significantly alter how horses receive care. What they're talking about, and it's a big debate now, what they're talking about is that basically any industry professionals, this includes people who do chiropractic or acupuncture or PEMF or just body workers, as they're called, it would be required that to do that, you'd have to be a licensed veterinarian. You couldn't do any of that without being a licensed veterinarian.
There's not a shortage of enough of
that's the problem
and needing their time. But like, well, I do PEMF, and to do PEMF, I mean, I spend an hour on the horse, and a veterinarian does not have time. Plus, I charge a heck of a lot less than the hourly rate of a veterinarian.
That's why the argument, you know, obviously the veterinary people want to do it for, I think, selfish reasons myself. The other thing that they're looking at doing, and this is at many states across the country now, Florida is looking at this right now, is making vet techs eligible to do a lot of the things without a veterinarian there. So, in other words, the simple stuff that vet tech could come out and do it and you wouldn't need a veterinarian. Like, why does a veterinarian need to come out and pull blood for Coggins or whatever, right?
I guess, but also the fact that I want my vet to put its eyes on my horse when it's time for, like, that's the one time I get kind of a free exam. It's like, you're going to vaccinate them. They're going to look at them and be like, have you noticed that?
You know, I think they're taking this model, and they said in the article that the model's coming from the people world. Like, you know, physician's assistants. Yeah, I haven't seen a doctor in forever at my family doctor. It's all physician's assistants.
My family doctor is a PA.
Yeah, mine too. And I've had her for 12 years, and she's fantastic.
Non-vegetarian hating one.
But I think that we're going to see more of this, and I think it's idiotic. It's just idiotic. You know, I just, you know, there's certain things I think, yeah, a vet should be seeing your horse, right? But there's other things mm-hmm. that can be done by trained people. Do they need to be trained? Should there maybe be a license to do it? Okay, I'll give you that.
I'm certified in PEMF. Right, so
there you go.
Like, there's certifications, there's education that I had to go through.
There's a lot of people that go to the Chai Institute here that do Chinese medicine that are not veterinarians. There's a lot that are veterinarians, but acupuncture and things like that. You go to get acupuncture done as a human, you're probably not getting a doctor, right? So anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up because I think it's going to come up more often. And we'll see what the vet tech thing does. You know, they're not calling them vet techs. They have a different name for the ones that would do this, like a physician's assistant. I think they're, and you know what, in a way, the argument they're having for that is with the lack of veterinarians, maybe we could get some of this more simple stuff done by, you know, veterinary assistants, who don't have to have the doctorate, and we can free up the doctors to do the more important things.
I can see that. See that. Like, if you want just a quick, easy, and you can't get anybody and you need somebody to come vaccinate your horses, I do all that stuff myself, but I was a vet tech for like ever. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, like vaccinate horses or even, you know, pull blood for whatever, right? That's something that they don't have to drive all the way out to your house to do. So, I don't know. One I'm kind of sort of on board with. This one, not so much.
You know what? You're going to choose who you're going to choose. Like, a veterinarian is not going to spend time giving my horse a massage. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Like, some states require your dental work be done by a veterinarian, and some states don't, you know?
Here, non-veterinarians can do dentals, but they cannot sedate the horse. So you have to hire somebody you have to have the vet either work with the dentist. So like my vet now has a dentist she works with, and she dispenses the sedation to me, and then the dentist comes out, and then they give it or I give it, whatever.
And if you had a vet assistant that if you just need sedated for like a dentist, that's where a vet assistant could come in too. You know, there are, I think I like that argument, but not so much the other one. All right, let's hear about Kentucky Performance Products and go to Deanne from Horse Nation.
Is your horse struggling with a dry, flaky, or dull coat or a brittle mane and tail? Does he or she have quarter cracks, toe cracks, crumbling hooves, or other hoof issues? Are they prone to losing shoes? These are the first signs of inadequate nutrition. Even horses consuming enough energy to maintain appropriate weight can be missing the vitamins, minerals, fats, and proteins needed to support tough hooves and a shiny coat. If your horse faces any of these challenges, try Careform Hoof and Coat. Careform is a scientifically formulated blend of nutrients that softens and nourishes the skin, increases natural oils in the coat, bringing out dapples and enhancing both color and sheen, and toughens hooves. For more information, visit kppusa.com.
Well, she makes an appearance once a month. It's Deanne from Horse Nation. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay. I can't let it go. I just can't let it go. Just so you guys know, 5 seconds ago, before Glenn edited it out, he said, and it's Deanne's monthly time. Deanne and I just started dying.
So you get an intro of all of us just laughing.
Deanne, are you having cramps? Do you need some Advil? Oh, Glenn.
Today, thanks. So.
It's Friday.
Carry on, Glenn. Carry on. Sorry, I can't let stuff like that go.
Hey, a couple of days ago, it was April 1st, and we're gonna get to your little thing, which you guys do every year. But did you check out any of the others? Did you see the Kelpie thing?
I didn't see the Kelpie thing. I need get let me know what the
Kelpie thing. So the Kelpie thing was, and this is interesting because we just had the sculptor who built the Kelpies on it like a month ago. So we had him on. He was a fascinating interview, by the way. You should talk to him for an article. He was great. But they did this Kelpie thing where they had to go out and do maintenance on the Kelpies because apparently one of the guys who was shining it used the wrong chemical on the Kelpie's teeth, and they were like this bright white full
like
mouth
Ross,
of teeth.
Yeah. Ross from yeah. Friends.
And I mean, they had the picture like that was Mater. Photoshopped with the white teeth sticking out. It was so
like
funny.
Mater from Cars. That's what it reminded me of.
Oh, amazing. I will have to find this.
It was funny. And they did the whole thing about how they had to go out and fix them and how they did it. It was really funny. Anyway, that was the one I saw. I didn't see a whole lot. What did you find?
One of my favorites that I like that I actually shared with a couple of friends who tend to be in a very good way, like farrier snobs. American Farrier's Journal sent or posted that they were putting, a smart track in your horse's shoe. So it was going to be step tracking, built-in GPS, stride and breakover analysis, linked with a mobile app, and a lost shoe location finder.
Okay, why is that not a thing?
Well, right? But then the best part is the AI-generated photo to go with it is like this totally like kind of Darth Vader looking shoe with all these buttons and lights.
The GPS tracker to find it when it's lost in the field would be nice.
I know, right? And I have like three pastures and my big one is about 6 acres. So if a horse loses a shoe, I look for a minute, but let's get real about life on this one. Like I'm in Western Pennsylvania mud. There's no finding a shoe in 6 acres of mud, but, inevitably every spring I'll be walking and I'll find one from the previous fall that's unearthed and
up. And I mean rusted.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And right now I only have two with shoes on, but I can always tell even when there were more, you pick it up and you're like, oh, that one's Max. That one's Lyra.
So I, when Mary King made her announcement, we talked about it on Wednesday's show about retiring. It was April 1st. I had to really look and make sure that was real.
Oh my gosh. Right. I didn't even think about that because we talked about that. Yeah. And then
it was real.
It doesn't seem like a joke.
And I think Eventing Nation posted one that. And it was look, this isn't a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. What else did you find?
Double D Trailers posted an auto loader.
That was great.
Which is this huge robotic arm. And I love, again, times that I feel like this is the appropriate use of AI is generating images like this, right? It's funny. We all know it's a joke. No one's thinking that we're not AIing this, but it's this huge robotic arm, lifting this drafty looking Palomino into a bumper pull with a ramp.
It was great. I love, and of course we love them anyway. He's been on our show 100 times.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I'm that's fabulous.
And he has a sense of humor. He's a pretty cool dude, actually.
That's awesome.
Jamie, did you get tricked by Annie?
Listen, I woke up and I told my son as we were having breakfast, I said, listen, man, you're 12 years old. Believe nothing, nothing today, nothing, believe nothing today. And so, no, I don't get tricked because I believe nothing anyway. So extra right. Don't believe anything on April 1st.
Well, you Horse Nation did theirs. And the problem is that I want what you did. So tell us was this your invention?
This was mine. So it was just, it was an app that translates what your horse is thinking based on ear position, tail movement, facial tension, eye expression. But this is where I put it in where I was like, look, this is an April Fool's joke. Overall aura.
To be fair, this is another one that why don't we have that?
Right.
Why?
Right. Although I don't know, sometimes and I have red mares, so usually what they're thinking is pretty clear.
But you know what?
Not usually a question.
With the science coming out about how horses react and all the real science that's coming out about that, we're probably not, and add that to AI, we're probably not too far from this, actually.
Right, right. But yeah, this would be a good one, but I don't know. I always feel like, when my mares look at me, it's pretty clear what they're saying, and it's usually not safe for work.
It's true, especially ponies. I like translating.
And I have a pony. Again, there's no question what's being thought.
I like number two was he's lame. What you think? Oh, no, something is wrong. Call the vet. Equispeak translation. I would prefer not to do this today. That's it. I mean, that's true, right? So true.
Okay. I know.
There were some really good ones. You did a good job with this one, actually.
Yeah, thanks. And I love that. And Glenn, you already kind of said it, but as we're getting ready for today's show, you're like, we're going to do this. And I had to go, you know, it's a joke, right?
But the thing is, I want it to be real.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you also did an article on spring cleaning, because guess what? It's spring, people.
It is.
I read this and I was like, I feel violated. Like, I think that what you posted was simply not fair. And if you want all that done, you get your ass over to my house and you do it yourself.
So there are some I definitely do like every single year. Like, right when I pull the water heaters, that's a like scrub everything, because I use the trough heaters that go into
the dropping heaters.
Yeah, because my horses are jerks and I'm afraid of them electrocuting themselves because they're trying to play with the drop-in heater.
Yeah, like I'm familiar with that.
Yes, so mine get the plug-in ones that they can't reach.
Okay.
So when I do pull them, it is like a whole thing. So that's, I think that's actually what inspired this article, was me scrubbing troughs.
Yeah, let me give some examples here. Water systems, ditch the heater, scrub everything. You know, that's one of my, Jamie knows this, it's one of my pet peeves in the barn. We all have them, but keeping the water buckets clean is one of my pet peeves, more so than Jennifer. She could go 3 weeks. She says, well, they'd like the dirty water better anyway. And you know what? Some of them do. But
it's shocking, to be honest. I have like really nice Nelson water heaters and waters in my barn. And then I have these outdoor waters that you can't keep them. You'd have to scrub this thing 4 times a day to keep it completely clean. And they will not drink in the stall. I'll turn them out and they go right to that mucky water. They,
like dirty, mucky water.
And I will say, like, my barn, my electrical's old and I don't have as many outlets in the barn as I would like. To be clear, I lease the facility. Like, I don't own it.
Well, you can't do much about it either.
There's not much I can do about it. I really, really, really don't want to run heated water in my barn. Like, I am concerned that that will cause a much larger problem, but all of my outdoor troughs are heated. So in the winter, I can only scrub if the temperatures are above a certain point to avoid a skating rink, right?
Right.
Summer, I scrub them all the time, yada, yada. But like winter, it's a different issue. Darn if those horses aren't like perfectly thrilled with their heated, mucky water.
I'm telling you, it's a thing. If you think about in the wild, they're not usually drinking clean water. They drink whatever they can find, right? So,
right. I mean, and let me be clear. I like fill my tanks and stuff enough. It's not like it's sitting there and stagnant, but like, I don't know that I would drink it.
I wouldn't drink it anyway.
There.
And then you get the dunkers. And I know we're totally off topic, but Nigel's a dunker. So, I mean, his water bucket is half hay by the time the next morning rolls around.
When I haul Mac to shows, my big thoroughbred mare, she has 2 water buckets. One to dunk, one to not. And people get into like, oh, well, dunking means that their teeth hurt. Dunking means that they have also. I'm like, or, you know, she just is a dunker given the option.
Yeah, she just
like we've dealt with all these things.
Yeah, some people dunk their cookies and some don't. You know, it's just the way it is.
And I've even tried moving her hay like away from the water at a show just so that like she has to work at it to dunk it. Oh, still does it. And I'm like, whatever, just you do you, man.
Okay, I have to ask you both about the next one. It's blow out the barn, dust, cobwebs, fire hazards. How often do you infect cobweb?
Well, let's see.
I mean, really, cobweb, get them all out.
Like, up. I mean, I can't reach the ones in the ceiling by myself, but I blow like a psychopath, like, because I am so paranoid. Because what they don't use, cobwebs are going to catch the bugs. No, what cobwebs do is they spread fire. So if you have a cobweb and it catches on fire, then blows across and catches everything else on fire. So I'm kind of a psychopath. And Glenn, I know you're not, because you haven't. I've had to send videos to Glenn, Dan, of me blowing cobwebs with my blower because he doesn't believe it.
We have the stickiest cobwebs ever. The blower would never blow.
See, I'm in the middle ground here. Like, one, so I have the like cobweb getter, you know, the long fuzzy thing on a pole. And I put my kids to work on that. Mm-hmm. I don't have the patience for that.
I get
the blower and I love the blower and it's so satisfying. But I learned early on that when you do that, or at least when I do that, I need to wear like an N95. Because otherwise you might get hay or cobwebs or whatever lodged in your sinus cavity for like a solid few weeks.
And if you're wearing an N95 mask, it will then lodge itself in your bra. Like it just
happened. That is true. But I feel like I can wash that off. I swear the first time I really blew out the barn after I took it over, I had like something lodged in my sinuses for a while. So I try to do it on like a like somewhat windy day where it's clear, where I can blow it out and it's blowing away from the barn. Yeah, it's, I do it not as often as I should, probably once a month.
We have this dilemma that we didn't think about when we built the barn here. So we have a big metal barn and part of it's enclosed. There's a garage door and then the outside is open with the stalls. It's a Florida setup, right?
Yeah.
But it's all covered. The problem is the wall that's inside that's facing the stalls has gotten totally dusty. And the only thing we could do is pressure wash it at this point. But then we have to take all the hay out because the hay stored, we would have to remove everything to do this project, so it's never gotten done.
Yeah, so I'm super fortunate in the facility that I'm in. I lease it for a very reasonable price. Like I could not, and thankfully they don't listen to this podcast, they're not horse people, so they're not, but like so like I can't get what I have for what I pay anywhere else. There are problems with it, but like, you know, I know the problems. But it has definitely taught me what I will do when I build my own place, from both dust to like hay storage to drainage. Like I can't pressure wash mine. I always don't have drains.
I feel like, Jamie, you did that when you moved there in building your barn. Are you happy with the way you built it?
I mean, I could be happier. I thought of every inch of that barn, like every inch of it. And I just took the years and years of working for other people and took what I liked and what I hated about all those barns and either included or didn't include it. So like when I am feeding the horses, you know, there's like bars in between the stalls because I wanted an open stall where they could all see each other. But I put a 2-foot solid wall right at their feeders. So they have like this little privacy corner to eat. And then I have like all the outlets are at the very top so they can't mess with it because I've had horses mess with it. And then when you have super wet blankets, you know how people like they drape their blanket over the stall door or the cross edge or somewhere? I actually put high hooks like at the very top. So I have to, when it gets really, really wet, I have to attach the blankets at the chest and I have a little step stool and I climb up and I hook the blanket onto this very tall hook. So the water just drips down the bottom of it. And I'm not having 9 blankets sitting all over the place. I just did like little tiny things that mean things to me that I've seen in other farms or not had in other farms. So when you do build your own farm, you really sit down and think like, okay, how can I make this super efficient? How can I make it easy for me? Because I was like, I'm not going to have staff. All going to be me. So how can I make this as easy as possible for me? And that's just kind of the angle you take when you're building a barn. And then in your spring cleaning, like we're talking about, everything is from A to Z. Like you start at one end and you just work down to the end. And like yesterday I was mucking stalls and I was like, okay, time to clean all the water troughs. And I vacuumed them all out, like all the Nelsons and you know, all just how easy can I make it? And then that's what you do.
I there's two more I wanted to do here. Declutter the tack room. How often do you clean your tack rooms?
Oh God, my tack room looks like a hoarder lives there. So
mine is like this total like binge purge situation. Like mine will ramp up to the point that you can't walk in it. And then I like lose my mind and clean the whole thing. And then it does the same thing.
See,
so my tack room is a combination tack feed room. So there's usually a little path to my like feeding bin and all the other crap gets like shoved around.
We're the same person, Deanne. And here's what I did. Okay. So I had my feed room, tack room, the same kind of deal, but I had like bags of grain. I had like just crap everywhere. And then the saddles, I was always like having to tiptoe around things to get out with my saddle. So what I did was I like went and to Lowe's and bought a shed and made Chad build it. And so that's where all my saddles and tack are. And now my actual tack room in the barn is a hoarding case.
That's amazing. Well, and I got totally nailed on social media. I don't know, like a couple of months ago, I was unwrapping a horse's leg with a standing wrap. Now, let me be clear. I'm going to say this at the outset. I don't then rewrap them using this polo after I do it. But when I unwrap a leg, I roll the polo as I unwrap it. And I know everybody who wraps legs is like, oh my God, you're not going to use that again. You're not going to get it tight enough. But because my tack room is such a disaster zone, if I don't re-roll the polo as I'm unwrapping the horse's leg, it gets tossed in a corner in like the huge snake zone with the quilt, and it lives there for like, I don't know how long. So if I re-roll it, I'll put it, don't ask me why re-rolling it matters in my brain, but bear with me. I'll put it in my car, take it home and wash it. Like, it's just how it works. But oh my God, the internet Karens came out in force, and it was kind of my favorite thing.
All about rolling
the fact that you use something and then immediately take it home and wash it is like, I mean, bravo.
But it only works if I roll it as I'm taking it off. Otherwise, it lives as a, like a snake in the corner of the tack room. So just like, you know, like this is the situation.
We all have our own levels of crazy, and that's okay.
Right. That's right. I like you. All right, one more. And this is actually one I think is important I wanted to bring up. As you said, safety check, the stuff that actually matters. And two of the things on there was restock the first aid kits, because when you need them, and you don't, you know, it's too late to restock them, right?
I maybe haven't done that yet this year.
Yeah, and you know, we're coming off of winter, you probably use some of the stuff in there. You know, the bandages are empty and the gauze is gone. And so that is a good one. But checking fire extinguishers. First of all, do you have fire extinguishers in your barn? Number one, if you don't, go out and buy them today.
I actually do. And I'm due to get new ones.
Yeah. I mean, and then the other thing is check if they're up to date. And obviously they all have the little gauge on it that shows whether they're good or not. I do fire departments still come out and you know, fill them?
I literally don't know because I'm too lazy and maybe I just pick up a new one when I'm at the home. Yeah,
they used to be, right? I don't know if they'll come out, but it used to be you could bring them to the fire station and they would fix them up for you.
You know what? Hey, ladies listening that are single, let me give you a
hug. Or if somebody who's just in for some eye candy.
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever. It's fine. I just take all of it to the fire station. I actually went to the fire station about a month ago because one of the kids at school was doing a one of those fundraisers where you have to buy chocolate bars.
Yeah.
And so I bought a giant box of chocolate bars and took it to the fire station. And I was like, this is a chick. Like, this is a candy store for women who are single. So if you guys are looking for ladies or looking for men, go buy a bunch of whatever and take it to the fire station or take your fire extinguishers there. And there's like, I was like, oh my God, this is better than going to Home Depot on a Friday night.
So like, here's a question. So wait, Jamie, are you you're in Oklahoma?
Yes.
And then Glenn, you're in Florida?
Yeah, we have all professional fire stations here.
Okay, you knew where I was headed with that.
Yep.
So I'm from Southern California originally, all professional fire stations. Like you, it is highly competitive to get in. There are wait lists, all the things.
What's the alternative? Like volunteer?
Yeah. Pennsylvania, it's only volunteer except for, I think, big cities.
You go to the fire station, there's nobody there.
Or it's like, it's maybe not the situation you're describing, Jamie. Yeah, like when we had that house fire, whatever, 6 years ago, my mom had just moved to Pennsylvania again, having grown up in Southern California, and three out of her four brothers were career firemen. So I grew up in a family of professional firemen. She's at my house. And let me say first, all the love in the world to the five fire companies who showed up to our house on like the hottest day of the summer. They worked their butts off. They're amazing. No shade thrown at them whatsoever, except for what I'm about to say. My mom's standing in my front yard. My house is actively on fire. And she's like, these don't look like the firemen I'm used to.
Way to go, Mom. Well, if you do have that type of situation at your local fire station, I would encourage you to go to Home Depot on a Friday night. There it is. That's the other one.
This is all very funny because my older brother is captain of the volunteer fire department in Connecticut where he lives.
It's just, but it's definitely like a reset in your mind. Like I remember teaching and my high school students were volunteer fire people. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I know it's true.
I hosted the hottest firefighter contest in Atlanta. Yes.
Have you guys have seen the Australian firefighters calendar, right?
Oh yeah, that's
yeah. So I have one in my barn because we had released a press release on it for Horse Nation, so they sent me quite a few. So first of all, I gave them out as presents to a number of people. Second, my farrier's at my barn last week. I pull out my calendar to write when he's coming next. He's like, what the heck kind of calendar is that? I totally, like, I don't even look at it. Like, I totally forgot. Like, I'm just, like, writing it down.
Don't hate. You're hot, too.
You know what we missed doing this year, Jamie, in January? We always do the naked calendars from around the world. Because there's always vet groups and all those that do the naked. I never did it. How did I miss that?
Oh, so here you go. Here's a teaser for some point later this year, because I'm stupid / crazy / don't care anymore now that I'm in my 40s. I am going to be part of a Western pinup girl inspired calendar.
Really?
You go, girl.
And I sent a note to the photographer. I was like, please Photoshop this heavily. Like, I am real old. And would like to not look that
yeah,
way.
But you don't look as old as you are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Or your pictures on Facebook are just 20 years old. I'm not sure which.
they're recent. But okay. But so when you get to the calendar section, we may have a conversation.
Send us a link to it.
Yeah, we need a link. I'll promote it.
Well, when it comes out, it'll be a little bit still, but I absolutely will.
I tell you, doing the research for that was my worst time of the year. Was terrible doing the research for that particular stuff.
I know. I felt so bad.
I suffered through that. Deanne, thank you for joining us. Horsenation.com. Are you going to Kentucky?
I am not.
Okay. Well,
she never goes.
She doesn't want to see you, Jamie. That's what it is.
Yeah.
She hides over there in Pennsylvania and never leaves the house. Yet it's not a bad drive from where you live.
No, it really isn't. And I'm not planning on going to Kentucky. How's that?
Okay. All right. Well, we talked to Sally. She filled us in on all the good stuff. So
Yeah.
Sally's great, by the way. She's terrific on the air. She's really good.
Awesome. She's super cool.
Yeah, we like her a lot. Well, we like you too, Deanne. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you.
We'll talk to you
later. Bye.
Bye.
Well, it's time for This Day in Equine History, and today we're going to head back to the Civil War. In 1865, on April 4th, 1865, Union and Confederate cavalry units were engaged in constant running skirmishes during the Appomattox campaign. Just a few days after that, a formal surrender was drafted. General Grant famously allowed Confederate soldiers to keep their horses so they could return home to plant crops for the spring. So that was unexpected. Apparently, it kind of surprised the president, too, that he was allowing that to happen, because usually they just confiscate everything when you lose. But Grant wanted them to be able to make a living, and horses were valuable back then. Oh, I forgot. I still have this now. On this day, the notorious outlaw Jesse James was shot and killed by Robert Ford.
I'm back, because you start talking about the Civil War and I just check out. So I'm back. Jesse James.
Jesse James was shot and killed by Robert Ford on this date. While the focus is usually on the gunfight, the immediate aftermath involved a major legal battle over his horses. He was killed while preparing his house for a move. His horses were already saddled in the stable. Following his death, his favorite horses, including a high-quality mare, were seized by the authorities. Because he was an outlaw, his horses were often superior, were like really good horses, because he had to outrun the law.
Right? Well, if that one's better, take that one. Just steal it.
Right. So apparently they had a big auction after to sell his horses, and it became an absolute media circus. And people were, how much they spent on these horses, but apparently there were bidding wars because everybody wanted to own one of his horses. So there you go. I didn't know that about Jesse James. And finally.
That's crazy, because like, I would not want to drive the car of Charlie Manson. You know what I mean? Carry on.
It was during this week in early April, and you're not going to know these names, but you're going to know what they did, all right? This was in the 1800s in early April. The names of Leland Stanford, by the way, who was the founder of Stanford University, and a photographer named Edward Muybridge.
Uh-oh, I know who this is.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. So what did they do? It's something that you probably don't recognize the names a lot, but we all have seen it. What they did.
The Muybridge, like, it's like a whole thing where they did a photographs of a horse because there was an argument on whether the horses had all four legs off the ground. It was such a silly thing, but so they did all these photographs to prove whether a horse had all four legs off the ground at any time or was there always one touching.
That is exactly right. And it was a very heated debate back then. So what they
know so much garbage about horses. Like if it's a horse related thing, I've probably heard about it.
What they did is they went to a racetrack and they used a series of cameras. Remember, this is the late, like 1880s, I think it was. So way back to the beginning cameras. They used a series of cameras triggered by trip cables. And he spent days in April trying to fine tune this so that the shutter speeds of his cameras captured the horse mid-gallop. And cameras were very slow back then. So this was a real feat to actually do this. And what they proved, and we've all seen those pictures, the slides, right, that go by. And they kind of did it like the cartoons were done in the early days. You looked at the pictures in the sequence, and then you could see movement. And
I think he did like horses jumping. He did like people doing gymnastics, like all of these different stop motion kind of photographing things.
So
he's
what,
a pioneer.
Right. It was definitely a pioneer. I didn't realize he did it with Stanford, the head founder of Stanford University. That was a new nugget that I didn't know. But he eventually proved that, yes, a horse becomes airborne, but only when its legs are tucked under its belly, not stretched out like a rocking horse as previously depicted in art. If you look at all the old art, I mean really old art, if a horse is running, they had them stretched out. And, you know, that's what it proved. It's funny that it took that to prove that.
You mean horses don't have two legs in front and two legs stretched out behind them at the same time? Who would have thought? That's weird.
You have seen that art, though, that has that.
Oh, all of those like 1870 portraits that you go into like an art museum and they have the old-timey horses. Yeah, the horses are always like 2 feet out in front of and then 2 feet behind
them.
Like, no, honey.
Not how it works. Well, there you go. There's your horses in history for today. Now it's time to look at some current things that are happening.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook and we have a little bit of fun with them. We'll be giving these prizes away next week. Everybody that submits an ad gets entered, and we do have an audio one today, so that person gets two entries. We have two prizes that we're going to give away. We have the Ultimate Tail Care Toolkit from Tail Cinch worth $100. It includes one rump rubber tail guard for safe, secure protection from rubbing the tail, a set of Tail Cinch reusable tail ties for grooming or riding, and the Tail Ties Shampoo Detangler. It's all natural, and it's specifically formulated to be non-greasy, helping tail ties and tail guards stay securely in place. And actually, with all this stuff we've been doing with taking care of Scooter, his tail is so beautiful right now because it has to be washed like 5 times a week. So it's the best it's ever been. So you can find all of these products at tailcinch.com. And then we're also giving away a $100 gift certificate from the Equestrian Chocolate Company. It's our artisan chocolate that blends fine art and fine chocolate. I always get hung up on those two. Each bar uses premium single origin cocoa sourced from the world's top 10% of beans and simply high quality ingredients. And each chocolate bar features you get a little coupon in it, and what you can get is equestrian inspired artwork from sculptor Tammy Tappan. You just send this in, or you know, submit this to them, and they send you one of her prints, and it's really cool stuff. All for buying a chocolate bar. You can use coupon code HRN for $10 off your first order at EquestrianChocolateCo.com. If you have a birthday coming up, oh, by the way, my birthday's coming up the end of the month, and I love chocolate, just saying. Mm-hmm. $10 off your first order, EquestrianChocolateCo.com.
I got to give you a bit of an update because when I look for really bad ads, I have to participate. I sometimes find things that make me make phone calls.
You know what I mean?
So I saw this ad and it said horses, $3,000 in Norman. And I'll read you the ad. These are beautiful. By the way, I live in Norman. So I'm like, this is like super close. These are beautiful, fancy, broke sound horses. They dance. They good for kids. Oh,
this is the one you read last week? You actually called them?
Yes, I did. I'll remind you. They good for family. They ready for you to put your tack on. They all crossbreeds. Quarter horses with Aztec, Frisian, Spanish with Appaloosa, quarter horses with Spanish, Spanish with Arabian. That was the ad. And I look at the pictures and all the horses are literally in the exact same situation that I found Amigo in, which is chained in cross ties. And then a couple of them, they're making dance in these photos, which they tie them to a post and whip their feet. I can't believe this is legal. Anyway, so I was like, obviously, if this is in my neighborhood, I have to go. Like, I need to see what is happening here. I need to inspect and maybe rescue something because I need another dancing stallion. Hold on. Where's he? So I messaged the guy. Let me see here. Here it is. I messaged, hi, would love to come see. Y'all love this follow-up, don't you, Glenn? You just love
I do, because nobody ever gives us the follow-up.
Hi, would love to come see your horses I saw on Craigslist. And they wrote back, what horse do you want to see? Which one? Now, mind you, the pictures are in the dark. There's a ton of horses chained cross ties. I can't tell anything about any of them. And I said, honestly, I couldn't tell from the ad. Can you tell me what geldings you have? I have one gelding, he Appaloosa mixed with QH. One stud who will be three this year. These two are the cheapest. The rest are stallions who are broke trained and all are mixed with something like Arabian, Appaloosa, Frisian. All of the horses dance. If you want a horse to be a workhorse, the younger ones are better. Every horse is broke. There's so much that hurts me that obviously I Ginger, who lives here, you would never know, speaks fluent Spanish. So I then go into her house and I'm like, when are you available? She also has a concealed carry, so like I feel safe with her. And so I go in, I'm like, when do you have time to go look at these horses, Norman? She said, oh, I can go, you know, this weekend. And so I message him back. I said, can I come look at them on this is Thursday. Can I come look at them on Saturday around 2 or 3 o'clock? Now, crickets, nothing, nothing Friday, nothing Saturday, nothing Sunday. On Monday evening, I get a text back that says, you can come look at the horses, but we would have to agree on a date. And I'd rather gather 2 to 3 different people in the same day. They give them a lot of one of y'all buying horse. That would give us a higher chance of someone buying one of these horses.
What's that? They want to have an auction while you're there?
What are you talking about?
Just what you want to do. Go with 3 other people to look at horses.
No, I want that one. I hear 400, 500, 500, 600. I was like, what are you trying to do? That's not how this works. That's not how any of this
you can't
works.
Ride them either, Jamie. That's not allowed.
Oh, God, no. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let it go. Cause I actually mentioned it to my husband, who was like, get out of here. You are not going over there to see those horses. What is wrong with you? Like, you can't even ride the one you bought from California. I'm like, that hurt.
Yeah. That cut. He's not wrong.
Like, I need another stallion that I have to castrate to keep on the other side of the farm who doesn't really lead because he's been bicycle chained over the nose for his entire life. Like, oh my God, y'all, everybody has a passion.
We need to take your phone away. We really do.
I can't. It's this damn show on Fridays. I started looking for it. By the way, I went on again to Craigslist today to look for more ads. And what pops up first? Horses, $3,000.
Oh, same ad.
None of them have sold. They're
yeah, and a big surprise. They won't let anybody come out and look at them.
This is exhausting. I'm my heart bleeds. Like, I have too much. I've read Black Beauty too many times.
All right, take a deep breath. And Lorene's going to help us out here today. I think because we shamed her last week.
Hi, this is Lorene Barden. Hi. And I'm going to read a really bad ad.
Alicia.
Okay. And this is a Craigslist ad.
Yes.
And the title is Two Horses for Sale. I have two, and it's a lowercase I have two, T-O. I have two horse for sale, five-year-old Palomino, 15-point hands, high, needs work, started on barrel pattern, doesn't know it though, gelding. Rides good after you work him for a while. Turns good if trained right.
It's crazy.
So it's not already trained. If trained right. He doesn't know anything, yeah. If trained right, would be great for cutting or barrel, whatever you prefer, only for experienced riders.
Runs fast.
Exclamation. 5,500 OBO. Ew. 1.5-year-old bay stud. Is broke to ride.
Oh,
at
God.
1.5? Broke to ride. Stunt. Not afraid of anything. Is an a-hole, though. He doesn't kick buck, but will bite the hell out of you. $1,500. PM for any more info. Serious inquiries only. Yeah, because I seriously want the horse that's going to bite the hell out of me.
You have one that runs fast and you have one that attacks.
Okay, that's it. That's my really bad ad. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Okay, so here's what happens is you got to get the horse and then you got to train the horse to do the things that the horse needs to do. And then the horse is going to be perfect.
For $6,000. That was Alicia, by the way, her daughter. And they were in the
love
truck.
It. She drives. Alicia drives. And then they read the ad on the way back.
We forgot to do also submitted. Amanda, Becky, Caitlin, Cynthia, Amy, and Faye also submitted, but we won't have time to get to yours. Thank you for sending. Or
all
sometimes
right, Debbie,
they're duplicates.
Debbie sent this one in. This is a Facebook page, the Chino Valley Prescott, that's in Arizona. I can't see the rest, but I'm sure it's some sort of horse page. Meet this little lady we've been calling Jinx, J-Y. An ex, she about 8 months old or she sweet, but got a lil spice her mama. Was a great learner and built quite well, could anticipate the same for her. Price is 700 OBO. What the hell did I just read?
It is a cute little filly though. Same little lady,
brown,
they actually mean filly.
It's a brown horse in the desert, Glenn. Like, what are you looking at?
Christy sent this one in. Farm animals for somewhere. I don't know where the age is. I have a 2-year-old a-hole. Central seems to be a theme today. I have a 2-year-old a-hole. Central Michigan, 2 years old. We got that in the first sentence. Somewhat lead broke. He's very disrespectful. Sometimes he's nice. Is he disrespectful or nice? I got to know.
He's nice.
Oh, he will randomly charge people. Well, that's handy. That's safe.
Wait, here it comes. Here it comes.
He's a good guy sometimes.
Hold okay. on. Here it comes.
Intact. Here it comes. Make an offer.
Yes! Intact. Will you please geld that? You're literally saying he's terrible and attacks you. He has testicles. It makes him crazy. It's not his fault.
I love how they repeated everything twice. It's somewhat broke. He's very disrespectful, but sometimes he's nice. He'll randomly charge you, but other times he won't. I mean, it's God.
Oh, God.
We have a theme today. We definitely have a theme today.
I'm sorry. My chest hurts. Like, I'm so angry. Southern Ohio Horse and Tech Facebook page.
Andrew sent this one in.
And why the hell don't you give me anything with punctuation?
Nothing we have today is punctuation.
Okay. Horse for sale, beautiful, white blaze and black. Maine will not eat money. And potty word, work has been roped off of by two-year-old. Doctored Ken and Barbie and rescued from a stockyard kitchen. Don't miss this once. And a life opportunity. All other tack and saddles posted on my FB profile. Oh, my God. What a waste of time.
And what do you see there, Jamie?
It's a stick horse.
It's a stick horse.
That is the dumbest thing. Okay, now I understand why it's been roped off by a two-year-old and doctored Ken and Barbie.
It will not eat money. They only want $20 for it, though. So,
hey,
it's actually cuter than the last filly we just saw. So there's that.
The two-year-old stud colt that'll attack you? Yeah.
Stephanie sent this one in. Illinois horse and tack for sale. She is looking for a new home with her new baby. She is 50% Frisian, and her baby is 75%. I have them in Lockport, Illinois. For more information and price, inbox. This is a picture from far away of a mama and her baby. The mama is kind of a brownish color, and the baby is solid black.
Wow. Well, it's 75% Frisian.
It's Frisian, yeah. If you're rich enough to own a Frisian, you would think you'd be rich enough to know how to spell it. I would think, but maybe I'm wrong.
The picture on the left is a photo of their muck heap.
I don't know that we're getting the whole picture there. But yeah, Lord. There you go. And we don't have a price on this one. I'm sure it's like $45,000. So
yeah. $1 million.
Yeah.
Nancy sent the next one in. And looking at this picture, it looks like when, you know, like Marguerite Henry would do a book and Wesley Dennis was the illustrator. How about me pulling those names out?
Yeah.
Wesley Dennis would illustrate like a Mustang paint horse that's standing off in the distance with the wind blowing. That's an actual photograph.
This looks like it was painted.
So
yeah.
Fuzzy and terrible that it looks. Yeah, it looks like.
How can you even take a fuzzy picture with a phone camera anymore?
I don't know.
They did it.
Well, here's why.
Okay.
I'll explain. This is Craigslist. Mayor in West Virginia. Number one. That's number one right there. 13HH grade pony mare scared of people. Because you can't get close to it. It's running away.
That's right. So that's why this was fuzzy. It was using the telephoto.
It's trembling because the next line is $200. She is extremely nervous. Oh, I need her. Oh, God, you're an idiot. She was delivered when I got her, was told she's good for kids, but she's not. Cash only edit. I can't catch her, so I can't answer any more questions. Oh, it's how close is Taco Tuesday's owner to West Virginia? Because this is like the female version of Taco Tuesday.
It does kind of look like Taco Tuesday. Oh, my God. This poor woman, though. She got this horse probably by a dealer, was told it was great for kids. They dropped it off and ran.
Here's the thing, people. If you don't know anything about something, don't buy something, especially if that something is for your children.
Yes. Yes.
That can kill them.
Maybe get some professional help.
My chest hurts again. I'm going to have a coronary after this.
I know. We're going to have to do just one or two more. Jamie's going to lose it. Janelle sent this one. And she said, I don't think the legacy of this cart is as illustrious as they say. Okay. Oh, my God. We don't have a bad trailer this week. We have a bad horse cart. All right, this is in Sand Hills Equestrians. This jogging cart was handed down from generation to generation. Been on many trail rides, a good little cart, lightweight. It has been sitting under a shed since we stopped using it. Built for strong, but it does need little work like painting and tires. Other than that, it is well built, and the seat is on shocks, so it'll be comfortable ride. I'm willing to negotiate. Would you like to describe this, Jamie?
Okay. Wait. The picture does not match the ad. Okay. So let me tell you what it is. You know, those little like jug carts with, it looks like it has two car seats.
Car seats. They're definitely car seats. Yep.
Are stuck on like a little mini bench, and there's two, what are those things called? The arms?
Oh, yeah. Shafts. There are two shafts coming out the front.
And,
yep.
And that's it.
What is it missing, Jamie?
Everything else.
There's no wheels.
There's no bottom. There's no wheels. There's nothing. It's two car seats like on a bench with the little shafts. And
that's it.
Literally all of it. That's it. It does not ride good.
I'm glad you're willing to negotiate. Guess they're going to need to.
That is a piece of garbage and you should throw that away.
Would you, as a sane person, even think to put this up for sale?
No, I'm just.
Or would you brought it to the dump?
Person, I'm just going to say no.
You would have brought it to the dump, like most sane people would have.
I'd probably hit it with a sledgehammer and tried to fit it in my dumpster.
You know,
I wouldn't have even taken it to the dump.
I would have shot it up with a shotgun first. That would have been.
Ooh, Lucas would have loved that. Yeah. Anything we have that's going to go in the trash, he's like, "Can I shoot it first?"
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's what we did. Yeah. Tell him this. Tell him this. When we were kids, you know how they used to, do they even have these anymore? The little plastic models you used to put together of cars and stuff. And you used to spend all the time putting them together, and then we'd shoot them to pieces. It was so much fun.
Hey, speaking of my inept ability to handle a firearm.
Yeah.
So we have this issue where these black birds will swoop down in my pasture and cover the pasture and be in every tree. And I have a video of it. I'll send you later. I don't know what kind of birds they are, but they just swoop down and they just, my whole pasture looks black. And they're the ones that had those, you see a million miles of them going across the sky. Well, they land on my property and I don't like it because first of all, they freak the horses out. It's like, it makes them gallop and they get scared. So what Chad told me to do, he's like, we have this BB gun. And what you do is you walk outside with the BB gun and you just cock the, it has one of those, like you pull the handle down. Yeah. It's like a children's gun. Okay. A 6-year-old's BB gun. And it sits outside. And so when the birds land, all you have to do is walk outside, cock it like 3 times, pump it 3 times and then pull the trigger. And the baby's not going to hurt anything or shoot anything, but oh my God, the lift off that it is created by these birds is crazy. And it's hilarious. And all is like one tiny threat of a BB. So I'm like, oh my God, there's all these birds in the pasture. It's yesterday morning. All these birds in the pasture. I'm like, I'm going to get the gun. I'm going to get the gun. And so I go outside with the gun and I start pumping it and these birds, nothing. And I'm like, okay, take aim and I put it on my shoulder and I go to pull the trigger. Nothing.
BB guns make no noise.
The trigger won't pull.
Oh.
Well, I'm like, what is wrong with this thing? I'm like, okay, wait, there's a safety. And I hit the safety, and safety's off. Like, I'm ready, and it won't pull. And I'm like, why won't this work? And so, of course, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, Lucas, get down here. I need your help. Shoot a BB gun. We're going to shoot at these birds that are in the pasture. And he comes running down, and he's like, okay, got it. And he's like, Mom, you just have to put the BB in it. You just have to go. I was like, and so he goes click and he shoots and all the birds scatter. But I was like, why can I not? I'm like, this is why I can't handle firearms. Like it probably, if it was a shotgun, it would have backfired in my face.
Yeah. No, you can't be shooting a shotgun. We don't let you do that. No.
No, no, no. Nothing. Okay. Sorry.
You have the next one from Caitlin.
Sorry. Again, I'm all wired up. Sorry. Horses for sale and horses for lease and for Saul. I can't see the rest of it, but it looks like a Facebook page. Does anyone have a horse for sale or lease? I'm looking to get back into horse. Back riding, but owning my own horse. Budget $1,000 or under will pay. Extra for transport, 14. Here's your sign that you don't need a horse. You're looking for one measuring 14.5 plus HH. Preferably a mare, but that's not a deal breaker. Okay. Just move on.
Do we need to say anything more about that one? Just all right. Move on. One more because I don't think we can handle any more than this today. By the way, Jennifer measured James the other day, and he's now officially not a pony anymore. He's now 14.3.
Oh, I'm so proud of
her. Yeah, she was so happy she has a horse again. Blake's
Monica sent it in.
Monica sent it in, right. Super good gated mare broke more woe. There's literally not been an ad today that's had punctuation.
Not as period in the whole thing.
Super good gated mare broke more woe than go. Judd got her yesterday. Super clean sound mare turn into goats or sheep or greenbacks.
What?
This mare is going to turn into a goat? Or
she's going to turn into a goat. Punctuation matters, people.
Obviously a broker dealer because she just got it yesterday. She's selling it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure she's selling it for the same price she paid for it.
I'm sure. And there is a picture of a tiny little toddler on this mare. And then a lot of pictures of goats and chickens and things. So
final ad from Diana. Let's do this one. 16 YO quarter horse pony. 2,500. I want to do this one because it has some punctuation. And I feel like I want to end on something.
Oh, it does. Look at that. Periods and commas and stuff.
Yeah. I have a 16Y/O 14H quarter. Horse, mare, pony for sale. Never mind. I take it all back. I have a horse, mare, pony. I identify as a horse, mare, pony. A quarter horse, mare, pony. Our two grandkids rode her last year, but they have lost interest. She is the, quote, full speed ahead sort. So if yo got half a dozen or even a baker's dozen kiddos on the farm, they'll all get turned round the pasture and she'll still be going strong. This is not a pony for helicopter parents or grandparents. So if you're an old-fashioned, get back on that pony, full speed ahead sort of fam, give me a buzz. That turned out to be better than I was hoping.
Pony kind of looks like a female version of Scooter, actually.
It's a brown horse in a field.
Yeah. A quarter horse mare pony.
A mare pony.
Yeah. Well, you know, we cannot pick on how people or even horses identify these days. We have.
I just like punctuation matters because it literally it's a quarter horse, mare, pony, like yes. Three separate things. And it just says she is a horse, mare, pony.
That's you what know what, like. Though? She did use punctuation. That's better than any of the other hats we had today. So.
Yeah, but not in that line. I'm exhausted. My heart is
tired. That was hard work today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Auditors, we do not have a post show because we're both tired.
And I don't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah, she's in a mood, and it's gotten worse as the show went on. So.
Oh, by the way, new doctor did prescribe me some more medication for my mood.
Oh, you hung around? You didn't leave after he said that?
No, I let it play out. But then he gave me drugs, and I was like, okay, we're back.
I assume it's supplements of some sort.
I did get some supplement suggestions, but also...
Real medicine? So he is a real doctor.
Bad? Is it bad? Yeah, he's a real doctor. Is it bad that now two doctors have prescribed me some sort of antidepressant or mood-enhancing drugs?
Oh, I can't wait to hear you on the show after you start taking those for a week.
Oh, I've been taking one for 3 months, but he's like, I don't think it's working.
He's just mad because you're a vegetarian to begin with.
Oh, God.
He probably gave you the one that's going to make you hungry for meat. It's probably one of the side effects on this particular drug.
God, I just need a steak.
You got a crazy steak.
What doctor says I would cut off my left hand before I gave up steak?
Well, he's probably on, what is that, the caveman diet there that's all meat? Because you said he was super ripped. Because that's back in style like now, 50, that diet.
So yeah. He's like, well, I used to do CrossFit, but now I'm like, oh, God, what am I doing here? Why am I here?
And Chad was all into it then, probably. He was like, oh, I love this dude.
Like, I love this guy. It's like one of those concierge guys. You pay like $100 a month and he's at your beck and call. And I was like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't need medication at 3 a.m. Like, he'll do.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us and putting up with our medical talk. We appreciate you being here.
Westu, by the way, referred me to him. My friend Larissa. I got back in the car and she was like, how was the appointment? I was like, he tried to help me come a back to meet program. And she was like, how'd that go?
Anybody that knows anything about you. Every listener cracked up like I did at the beginning when they heard that.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
I mean, it should have been a clue when you said 36 years, is it? Or
Yeah.
30, that should have 39. Been a clue that you're not converting back. You know,
39 years, but you know what? I've been in here 5 minutes. Sure, let's change it.
I got to play the closing music, but it won't start. Oh, there it goes.
I knew
Even it's tired of the show.
Yeah. It's like I'm done.